Coming up on this episode of the Sardak Pit Podcast, Chris and I are joined by J.C. Reifenberg as we discuss our favorite lines of dialogue from Luke Skywalker. We also chat Rebels, sequel and standalone movie news, and were the stormtroopers under orders to let the Rebels escape from the Death Star in this episode's Things That Make You Go Hmm. All that and more on this episode of the Sardak Pit Podcast, and it starts right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful it is.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Cranky and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome back, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, the podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by Yodasnews.com and GalacticBinder.com, and we thank them for their support of the podcast. This is episode 84 for March 15th, 2015. I am your co-host, Matt. And on the other side of the mic is your host and creator, Chris Smith. What's up, Chris? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Early on a Sunday morning, we're, you know, nice, relaxing. Yeah. The weather's nice.
Yes,
ready to talk
right,
to Star Wars, man.
Yeah, I know about the weather, man. JC and I were in California, and weather's been fantastic.
Yeah, rub it in.
We got a great show, Chris, talking our favorite lines of dialogue from the farm boy from Tatooine, Luke Skywalker. But before we do that, let me welcome in our guest. He's been on the show multiple times, and we're always really stoked to have him on the, in the pit. You know him from Hughes the Force, very popular YouTube show, The Comlink. It's our friend J.C. Reifenberg. J.C., welcome back, my friend. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. A little bit tired, but it's a little bit earlier here in California than it is out where Chris is in Memphis.
Yeah, you were just saying you were up till, what, wee hours in the morning working, so.
Yeah.
We'll try to keep you awake here. We'll try to keep you awake.
Talking Star Wars always gets my blood going.
Hey, man, like I said, it's good, great to have you here. Before we get into some news, though, JC, obviously things are going great for you. The Comlink is very popular. And it looks like you have a new segment of the show coming with James Arnold Taylor. You want to tell us about that in the latest?
Yeah, so that's part of what kept me up all night. Starting this Monday, which is March 16th, which would be tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing this show called A Certain Point of View, and it is James Arnold Taylor hosting something that's kind of like a cross between one of those political shows you see on CNN or Fox News and a game show.
Okay. Nice.
So A Certain Point of View, we're calling it a rapid-fire topical Star Wars debate show. So the first episode is James Arnold Taylor hosting, and me and Catherine Tabor from The Clone Wars debating Star Wars issues. We pick kind of two main topics and one lightning round topic each week. So I guess this podcast it will be out. When you're listening to this, you will be able to go see A Certain Point of View either on iTunes or on the Comlink's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/thecomlink. And we debate, the first topic we debate is that news that George Lucas said his story treatments were not used in episode 7. Good thing or bad thing? And Kat and I yell at each other in a fun way about why it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I like it.
Our second topic is Lando Calrissian. Was he right in selling out Han Solo and his friends on Cloud City? You know, and so we argue, yeah, Lando did the right thing, or no, he didn't. And, you know, Catherine argues, that it's never the right thing to sell out your friends. No matter what you do, he did the wrong thing because you never sell out your friends. And I argued that, you know, Han lived, Luke lived, Leia lived, everybody lived, nobody on Cloud City died. So he did the right thing. He had his responsibility to the people who elected him administrator of Cloud City. So it's kind of fun. We debate for 60 seconds per topic, and then the last topic is a lightning round topic, and we do kind of like a this or that, you know, like best ship, Slave One or Millennium Falcon. And you get, you know, 5-10 seconds to be like, I like Millennium Falcon, I like Slave One. And it's not so much a debate as just a, you know, you get to give your opinion on a on like a this or that question.
Right, right. Wow, that sounds great. Sounds good.
Yeah, and then at the end, we ask for viewer feedback, so we post all of the questions online, and we got hundreds of responses, which was really cool. And so James highlights at the end of the show some of the viewer questions that, that people, you know, some of their opinions, for the different questions. So it should be pretty fun. We're not quite done with it as of the time we are recording this podcast, but, you know.
Yeah.
By tomorrow afternoon, it'll be up.
And that's probably what you're working on right now, right?
Yeah. Well, right now I'm going to focus on doing your guys' podcast, and then I've got brunch with my girlfriend, and then all afternoon we've got this other thing going on.
That's a good thing you threw in a little brunch there with the girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
That's always on a Sunday. You can do that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so that's great, man. It sounds like everything's going fantastic for the Comm Link, and I'm assuming you guys are – I think the last time you were on, David Collins was on, and you guys were talking about maybe something going on at Celebration. Is that still the – you still doing something there or
– Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. Nobody wants to – so the stuff that we want to do, we have to get approvals on everything. Right. And that proves challenging. So I can't – quite say anything yet about what we're going to be doing. We will be running around the convention, so you will see us there. Hopefully gonna I can't say anything. Nobody's nothing's approved. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that makes it a surprise, so that'll make it better.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah.
And then I'm working on something that so we also do an audio podcast on Comlink called Comlink Retransmission, which is just an audio roundup of all the videos that we put out that day that some people had been asking for. And I talk about that a little bit on our retransmission from what will be going up tomorrow. But we are working on a special kind of short film type thing. It's kind of all I can say at this point that we'll be shooting this week that hopefully will be really cool, that around the time of Star Wars Celebration, everybody will be able to check out.
Nice.
So, you can kind of keep your eyes open for that. After Hughes the Force, I said I was never going to do another Star Wars fan film. but just like Luke, who says, I'm never coming back to this planet again, and then in Return of the Jedi, there he is. You know,
pull you back in.
I had an idea, and I told it to James, James Arnold Taylor, and he was like, "Well, we got to do it now." So,
hey, when you got James Arnold Taylor behind you, hey, you can't
yeah, exactly. That. You know, no, when no. Obi-Wan tells you that it's a good idea, you yeah. run with.
Yeah. So it sounds like things are going great for you, and man, I guess we'll look forward to catching up with you at Celebration at some point. We'll be down there.
Yeah.
So definitely. Hey, so Chris and JC, obviously big news coming out the last few days. Bob Iger was at a shareholder meeting, and they announced, of course, some information about Episode 8 and the title of the new standalone movie, which we're going to get next December. So let's start off, Chris, with Episode 8 here. Looks like Rian Johnson, like we already knew, he's going to be directing it. And also, looks like he's writing it as well, and writing it by himself at this point, at least as far as I know, the latest that I've heard. So this is kind of interesting. This is like the first time since Lucas, you know, did, you know, his writing and directing that Rian Johnson's going to be doing this. So that's like a lot of stuff to put on this guy. And hopefully he's up to that challenge, because that's no small feat for Star Wars fans to be tapped to write and direct. And he's also looks like he's at this point penning the first draft of the script for episode 9. So at this point, this guy has more to do this sequel trilogy than J.J. Abrams, right? I mean, look at the stuff he's doing. So
yeah, sounds like it, because what, J.J. just directed it. I don't know.
And he's going to oversee, I believe, the next two, like be an executive producer, if I remember right. So I don't know, man. It's interesting how they're throwing a lot at this Rian Johnson guy. Hopefully he's up to it. And yeah,
to me, if he's writing
next December.
Yeah, if he's writing and directing episode 8, when is he going to have time to write episode 9? Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's going to be directed, is he going to do that after he gets finished filming episode 8, then he'll go into writing, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would just...
One thing I did...
Right after the day, bam, start the next one, you know?
Keeps you busy. I do like that episode 7 has gone back to a May release, according to their...
Oh, episode 8,
They announced, which is awesome.
Yeah, I knew you would like that, back to the summer May thing, which is, we all thought, that's Star Wars for us, you know? Yeah. Although I am excited about a December release, because, I mean, I think this thing is going to blow the doors off of tickets, and I think it's going to be a record holder for the amount of money this makes. Personally, I think it's going to blow away Titanic and everything else that went ahead. JC, what, any thoughts about the episode 8 or this new standalone? Let's talk about it. I know, JC, you just, before we started, you have a rant. You wanted to talk about this. So let's talk about Rogue One. This is the title that Gareth Edwards is directing.
So let me rewind to the episode 8 stuff. That kind of blew my mind, because episode 8, I believe, is scheduled to come out 1 or 2 weeks after Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I've been very vocal saying Star Wars is going to become Disney's Christmas franchise, and Marvel will be their summer franchise.
Okay.
I just think it's a weird thing that you're going to release two blockbuster movies within 2 weeks of each other during the summertime. I mean, I love it. Look, Star Wars is a summer movie to me. But I just don't understand why you are competing with yourself like that. I think that's kind of crazy.
Within 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, you know? Do they just think that Marvel and Star Wars are just such unstoppable beasts that it isn't going to matter? I mean, maybe that's what it is, but I think that's nuts. J.J. Abrams did, Michael Arndt wrote the first draft or whatever of episode seven, but from what I understand, J.J. and Larry Kasdan were working in secret, on their draft of the script, right up until the time, like, Michael Arndt was kind of used as a foil or so, so that J.J. and Larry Kasdan could write their own and then could blame Michael Arndt on why they needed to push the release date back to December. Because remember, Disney initially wanted it to come out this May.
Oh, yeah.
And J.J. said, nah, I don't think this is going to work. And then I'll just say one other thing. As a filmmaker, the idea that somebody... a businessman who doesn't make movies and a marketing team, and this is the trend now, is announcing, release dates on movies before they're even written, before they even have an outline, is absolutely insane. Yeah. I cannot imagine, you know, the pressure, the stress.
Yeah.
There's something, you know, you have to be creative. And even when you're making a movie without a predetermined release date, there's so many compromises you have to make that affect the quality of it, just day to day based on crew and things like that. The idea that if Harrison Ford, you have a release date, so if Harrison Ford twists his ankle, you're going to either have to push the release date or replace Harrison Ford is not good. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. if something happens that's out of the ordinary, you either have to push that release date or you have to make compromises that I don't think any filmmaker is comfortable making because they're going to majorly affect the quality of the movie. That's a terrible trend in my opinion. I think it's awful.
I know what you're saying. I can imagine. I just kind of said that when you said it, the pressure of like having a release date in front of you already, like, hey, you know, this is your deadline. This movie better be done. And not that they couldn't push it back, but when Disney says, this is what I want, and you know how Disney is, they have their slate, their schedule is just so tight, and everything's got these release dates, especially with the Marvel stuff now and the Star Wars stuff kind of following the same path. Wow. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy's got to have the pressure. I thought JJ had some pressure coming back to episode 7, you know, this guy. And like you said, he's penning it. So it doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't come in. You know, he's doing like the first draft. It doesn't mean someone else couldn't come in and help out and do the rewrites or whatever. So that's just kind of like the latest news of what's going on now. Chris, you mentioned it. Nice. Yeah, Chris, you just said it. You know, we got a title for the first standalone, which was a little surprising to me because, you know, a lot of the first rumors were it's going to be Han Solo, Boba Fett, Yoda, you know, whatever. It's going to be one of our classic characters, right?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it comes out Rogue One with Felicity Jones, which honestly, I really don't have no clue. I know she was in Spider-Man and the Theory of Everything, but I have no clue who she is. She just looks like the...
She's hot.
The first thing she looked like that Bishujo, what is it called? Bishujo statue that they put out of, who was it? Leia and...
Oh, yeah. Jaina Solo.
The X-Wing pilot?
Jaina Solo.
There you go. Yeah, it kind of looked like that, but yeah, you know, Rogue One, they're going totally off what I thought. You know, a lot of the rumors were of these characters, but Rogue One, what do you think? I mean, obviously, we've heard of Rogues before, Empire Strikes Back. You got the Rogues in there. I think, Wedge was part of a Rogue group. Luke, of course. So the first thought is, yeah, it's going to be about Rogue Squadron or a bunch of X-Wing things, but they've showed a lot of this. They've showed some concept art, which has this gritty kind of, they call it quote unquote Halo type. Feel and look to it. But Chris, what are your thoughts first about Rogue One and where it may be going?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I had texted you about it, texted a couple of friends and my cousin come back, it's like, oh, that's cool. And then he comes back a few minutes later and said, all right, what do we know about this movie? And I'm like, well, to be honest, we don't know anything because before they had said Han Solo movie and now they're saying Rogue One and Felicity Jones is cast. So I'm kind of like, and of course, everybody went blowing up about it being, you know, Rogue Squadron, X-Wings and all that, which it could be. But to
it's
me,
not.
When I hear Rogue,
guys, it's not.
I know
it's not X-Wings.
When I hear Rogue One and then Felicity Jones, that hello, Rogue One individual, that to me tells me, okay, what exactly is her character and where is this going? Because she's off on her own doing something. She's a rogue is the way I see it. I mean, to me, that's the only thing I can get when they say this is the name and this is your main character, Felicity Jones. Okay.
You could be right, Chris. That could be like a throw off when they say Rogue One. Everybody's thinking, you know, some type of, you know, squadron. But JC, what are your thoughts?
Oh man, I'm so happy that Chris said that. I'm so happy because I have been reading X-Wing stuff. Michael Stackpole, who wrote all the X-Wing novels, posted how excited he was they're making an X-Wing movie on his Facebook page or on his blog. Guys, it's not an X-Wing book. Or it's not an X-Wing movie. I'll tell you why. The first thing is, Rogue Leader is the name. Gold Leader, Green Leader, Red Leader are the names of the leaders of squadrons. Not one. One, like Chris said, indicates alone. Right? Everybody, Star Wars fans hear Rogue and they think, oh, Rogue Squadron, because they've played the video games and they've played the Shadows of the Empire and they've played all of that stuff. But guess what? In canon, in the thing that Disney cares about because they got rid of everything else,
right?
Rogue Squadron are snowspeeders. It's only in Empire Strikes Back. You don't have Rogue Squadron in A New Hope, and you don't have it in Return of the Jedi. So if Disney is in charge of this, and their marketing team came up with the name Rogue One, you know, that it's not a call out to a video game from 20 years ago. Right. There's just no way. They don't operate like that. And they're not making Star Wars movies for Star Wars fans. They're making Star Wars movies for the entire world. And there might be, you know, the filmmakers might throw a little Easter egg in here or there, but they're not, the same way they don't make the Marvel movies to appeal to people who have read Iron Man comic books, they're not making Star Wars to appeal to fans like you and I. They're making it to appeal to the widest audience possible. Because they know we're going to go and see the movies anyway. Right? Whether, exactly. even if they make Han Solo, somebody who's not like Han Solo at all, we're still going to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up that it has anything to do with, X-Wing pilots. This is a movie about, and who, you know, it doesn't mean that Boba Fett's not in this movie. From what I understand, we're looking at an original trilogy era, movie. We're not looking at a sequel Force Awakens trilogy or, era movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. See, I think that's good.
I was just going to ask you, like, so many questions, from this title, getting the title announcement that, you know, what is the era of this? Is this going to, like they do with the Marvel Universe, is this going to, be a part of this new story group, and is it all going to tie with the new sequel trilogy somehow? I mean, just so many questions. Like you said, where is it going to come from? What is the era? So, what do you think?
They are calling, and I believe I saw this on one of the like transcripts from the shareholders meeting I looked at. They are calling it the Star Wars Cinematic Galaxy now, Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Wars Cinematic Galaxy. So this will tie in, along with the 400 books that they're releasing this fall, into that galaxy.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's good to know then, because...
I think it'll be cool, man. I really want to see this movie. I'll tell you what I want to see out of these spinoff movies. I want Episode 7, 8, and 9 to feel like these Star Wars movies that we grew up with, right? So every time you have an episode number that focuses on these main characters... I want it to feel like the Star Wars movies we grew up with. Mm-hmm. When you have these spin-off movies, I want these to, this is the chance to do something really neat. Do a film noir style Star Wars movie. Do a Top Gun style Star Wars movie. Do those types of things and really
out of the box,
have some fun with it, because if you make every single movie try to feel like this Star Wars movie, I don't think it's going to work. Part of the reason that Episode 4, 5, and 6 work so well is you have galactic heroes, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia, operating on a galactic scale. They are saving the galaxy. If you have Felicity Jones saving the galaxy, it reduces the significance of Luke, Han, and Leia, right? Because everybody can save the galaxy. Everybody in every spinoff movie, if they're saving the galaxy, it means the big movies don't matter as much. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to see Han and Luke trivialized because Felicity Jones needs to save the galaxy in her movie. I want to see Felicity Jones have an awesome, contained, smaller movie. You know what I mean? What? She gets hired by Boba Fett to track a bounty, and she trains under him. Tell that story. That's a cool story, you know?
Yeah. And still have it interweaved with a small section so it coordinates with the movies, I guess.
Exactly. She's at a cantina and she's just like, oh, this kid Luke's, she's watching the TV at the cantina and, oh, local farm boy Luke Skywalker blows up the Death Star. You know what I mean? Tie it in. Make it work within that world, but don't try to make every spin-off movie a galactic adventure. Tell some little stories. Tell some little stories.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, the way I understood it is basically what you're saying is that these spin-off movies are based off of minor characters from the major films, major storyline. And basically, like you said, it's just going to be like an adventure. Felicity Jones, we're going to see an adventure from her, and it's not going to be like saving the galaxy. You know, it's just going to be like an adventure. So, yeah, it's just going to be a story about this person or about this group of people, you know, however they do it. But it won't be the main characters. It won't be, like you said, the galaxy won't depend on what happens in this particular story or whatever. But it will, I just say it's, you know, it's just going to be an adventure. So it's not going to be like a major, major deal as far as the storyline.
Right, right. Well, and JC had mentioned the 400 books or whatever. Let's talk about that real quick. Of course, we have the Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which looks like it debuts in September of 2015. It's an all-new Marvel Comics event series. And Chris, you got a breakdown of what's going on with this?
Well, basically what article that had come out and talking about 20-odd books, and which includes novels and whatnot from Del Rey. We've got Star Wars Aftermath coming, which is supposed to be set just after Return of the Jedi, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. Then there's another one called Lost Stars. And then these next three I'm kind of excited about. You got Smuggler's Run, a Han Solo adventure, The Weapon of a Jedi, which is Luke Skywalker adventure, and then Moving Target, which is Princess Leia adventure. That, I'm excited to see about those three. And then we got Star Wars Absolutely Everything You Need to Know from DK, and then The Journey to The Force Awakens. I don't really know a whole lot about it. They've got that listed twice, and one with C-3PO. So is that an adventure about C-3PO or from his point of view? And then Star Wars Ships of the Galaxy, which is something, you know, like the encyclopedia books and the visual dictionary type books and stuff. And, this is a lot of books. I like these three adventure books. And I also had heard and saw in another article that they are going to retell the original three Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. They're going to re-release novels, those novels, but they're going to be redone from another point of view. They're going to take, like, another character. I don't know which character they did.
It's the droids.
The droids. Okay, so they're going to tell it from their point of view, which is, weren't the movies pretty much told from their point of view in the first place? But
yeah,
it'll be different. It'll be interesting to see, coming from them, exactly how it'll be and everything. That'll be something like for me that's read the books before many times.
Yeah.
It'll give me something to, hey, I want to see what this is about. I want to read it again. So.
Yeah, obviously they're talking about the time between Return of the Jedi and the new sequel trilogy. So, of course, I'm going to be, you know, checking these out. And I know some of them are supposed to be like young reader stuff, and that's fine. But, you know, like the comics have been killing it lately. So, I'm pretty excited to see what they do. And this is not going to have any spoilers, apparently, to what happens in The Force Awakens. So they're going to be able to tell these stories and not give you any clues. Well, no, I think they did say something about having clues, but you won't know what they are until you see the movie. So.
Right. Once you see the movie, then the other stuff will make sense.
Right. Right. So, JC, do you follow the comics at all? I mean, you interested in this at all?
I haven't. I'll tell you what. I'd like to leave that era untouched until after the movie. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a super interesting time to set movies within. I don't know how I feel about this. You're going to be getting kids coloring books that counts as canon in this Road to the Force Awakens. So if like Han Solo farts and Princess Leia like holds her nose, that image out of the kids coloring book is now canon. That now counts. It will be referenced down the line in a movie or something like that. And I think you're opening yourself up to some issues by doing that. I like the comic books. I like a lot of that stuff. What worries me is like what happened with the Star Wars EU before it is, if you're going to release 20 books over the course of 3 months leading up to this movie, and you continue on that path and it's all counts and it's all canon, you're going to have so much Star Wars canon story on your plate that by the time episode 9 comes out, you're not going to be able to do anything because you're like, well, Luke can't do this because in the coloring book he said this. You know what I mean? And do you really want a coloring book screwing with your episode 9? I don't know, man. I just, I don't know. That being said, like, Han, Luke, and Leia adventures sound pretty cool. And, like, Marvel, you know, I mean, it all is tied together. I just don't want to see it overdone. You know, there's something awesome about Star Wars movies coming out every 3 years, to me. Part of the fun of it, part of the fun of The Force Awakens, guys, is that we haven't had a new Star Wars movie in so long, right? Yeah. And we're talking about it, and we're excited about it, and this is great. After this point in time, after right now, after December 18th, 2015, that will never happen again.
Right.
We will have a Star Wars movie every 6 months until even the most hardcore Star Wars fans are tired of it.
Mm-hmm. See, that was my... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
Oh, I was just going to say, so enjoy... Fans need to enjoy this time right now, especially the older fans who remember how awesome it was to, like, anticipate and wait and feel the goosebumps growing every day as you count down from 1,200 days to 1,000 days to 900 days to 50 days to 1 month to lining up the night before. You know, how many people are going to line up the night before episode 9 4 years from now when there's been 40 Star Wars movies between now and then? I don't know, man. There's just something about the fun of the anticipation that's, I think, going to be lost in all of this story and hoopla, and something that made it special. I'm worried that Star Wars is going to become a commodity rather than something that we all yearn for, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And that was one of the things that when it first was announced that we were going to be getting a lot, this Star Wars, this new version of it coming out every, what we thought was going to be once a year. But like you said, it's going to be like every 6-7 months or whatever it is now. So I did at one point go, am I going to be still, is this going to be too much, you know? And then somebody told me, well, look at the Bond franchise and stuff like that, where it's like, for those people, it's never too much. And here's the other thing.
But there's not a Bond film every year, even. It's every few years.
No. Not even. Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, JC, is like, we're going to lose that buildup of, you know, waiting a year or 2 years or 3 years. You know, for Star Wars fans, it's usually 3 years. So we're going to lose that. And there is something to be said about the buildup and the anticipation, like we're talking about right now with some of this stuff. And I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see what happens when, you know, Rogue One comes out. Are we going to be waiting in line? Probably. You know, when episode 8 comes out, episode 9, like you said, and the ones in between. Maybe not like we used to. I mean, I remember episode 1, you know, getting in the line and waiting hours and hours and sitting in a lawn chair and just chilling and having the news come up and talk to people online, because this was the first Star Wars film in a long time. So definitely, I think those days are gone. Yeah. And it's kind of sad, because those are kind of neat times to think back, you know, waiting in line and sitting in a lawn chair for 10, 12 hours or whatever it was, however long you waited in line. So
days, definitely something, man, to that. Days.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, some people days. Yeah. Depending on where you are. So, yeah, I don't know, Chris. One part of you is like, man, this is awesome. We get all this Star Wars content. But then there's the other side where you go, yeah, you kind of like the build up, you know? So it's one of those bittersweet type of things. I don't know. So, but yeah, that's what's going on. Also, another big Star Wars franchise, Rebels. Yeah. Let's talk about Rebels for a second. Of course, we got this season finale. Season 1 just finished, and I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed the finale. This whole season of Star Wars Rebels has been pretty fun. We get to watch this one group, this one crew, the Ghost Crew, go around doing their thing, and this Rebel, what we thought was just one Rebel cell, turns out to be more. But hey, I'm totally on board with this. Of course, I do another podcast about the Rebels. But, you know, this is, for me, this is right up there with Clone Wars already. And maybe even surpassing it. We'll see what happens in season two. But let's talk about that season finale, Chris. Wow. I mean, we got Vader. We got Fulcrum being revealed, which was Ahsoka, talking about all the rebel cells. There's more than just one rebel cell now. So a bunch of crazy reveals and some incredible voice talent that's going to be coming for season two. Some really good stuff. What'd you think of the finale, Chris?
I thought that the last 30 minutes, I was like, how could they have gotten every bit of what they did into that 30 minutes, but they did. I mean, I did. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the fight between Kanan, the Inquisitor, and Ezra was really, really good the way they did it. And the music kind of, they did the music in a way where it felt like the episode one battle, but it was still a little different.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then taking Ezra, I thought that was kind of a cool effect, taking Ezra out of it and Kanan changing the way he did. I thought that was a great line. So now I have nothing else to fear.
Yes.
And then he just goes all out against the Inquisitor. And I was shocked that they killed off the Inquisitor. Of course, mm-hmm. with Star Wars, anything can happen. But according to Dave Filoni and them, he's dead
right.
from what they said. But, yeah, when you got to that part where Bail Organa showed up, I was like, oh, man, this is sweet. And then just to reveal Ahsoka, I was blown away. I was not expecting Ahsoka. And I was so excited to say, oh, great, we got this character back in it. She's grown now. And I'm just like, this is going to be awesome. And then, of course, the end, Tarkin coming in there and saying, well, I got a different plan or I change of plans, however, what it was he said. And then here comes Vader. And then it ends. I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go. So, you know.
Yeah, that was definitely the best episode of the season with the reveals and Ahsoka back. And JC, I'm sure you've seen the show. What's your feelings on this season?
You know, honestly, I haven't watched very much Rebels.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen very much of it. Most of my time has been spent on the comlink.
No, yeah, of course.
But you know,
did we spoil it for you?
No. I mean, how could anybody who is in any way tied into Star Wars at all not see the internet explode when Ahsoka showed up? Like, I feel like Ahsoka Tano was trending on Twitter for like a good 2 hours. That's all anybody was talking about. I mean, I gotta admit, like, it got me the way that the fans reacted to her coming back on the show, having not seen very much of the show, got me excited. I was like, oh, I should go watch all these shows. And I was like, oh my gosh, Certain Point of View is due in 2 weeks. You know, I can't really talk about me personally, but seeing the entirety of like hardcore Star Wars fans light up with how excited they were about that, I think that's cool. And I hope it opens the door for, you know, my buddy Obi-Wan Kenobi to come back and revisit the show a little bit and some of those other characters we love. Hondo, who I'm sure has not been announced that he'll be back in the show, but has been alluded to that he'll be back in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that show, tie back into its Clone Wars roots a little bit more than try to be Ralph McQuarrie's version of Episode 4 more.
You know, and I think we're actually getting to there, or we might be going to there in Season 2, because obviously, like you said, we talked about Ahsoka coming back, and she not necessarily main character, but she's going to be coming in and out, it looks like. Darth Vader. There was some rumors about Sam Witwer returning to play possibly the Emperor, which he does the best. He does the best Emperor I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So we could be going back to that, to like a Clone Wars and some of these original characters. Of course, Lando, we've had Lando. He's probably going to be back. And what's great about the series too is they're getting the original voice actors. I mean, they got James Earl Jones to come back. They got, Frank Oz to do Yoda. They got,
Which is cool, but I mean, yeah. I like Tom Paine.
No, Tom Paine is like, you know, you're so used to him being in the Clone Wars in that early era, and then it was just cool to hear Frank Oz again. But I think here's the thing with Ahsoka coming back and Darth Vader. Ahsoka has become this character. What at first, admittedly, I wasn't a big fan of it, but she kind of grew on me. And then when she left in the Clone Wars season 5 finale. It's kind of like, wow, this is, I kind of like this character. I kind of love this character, you know, to see her come back. And I'm telling you what, this is setting up to be one of those seminal moments in the entire saga. And when I'm talking about moments like this, I'm talking about where, you know, obviously Vader reveals, I'm your father to Luke. I love you. I know. And just points of the saga where you're like blown away by what's going on and the potential matchup between Ahsoka and Vader and what could happen between these two, I think is going to be one of those moments in the saga where it's like talked about for a long time and what possibly could happen. You know, will she find out? Will they fight? Will he kill her? Stuff like that. This is ramping up to be one of those moments between these two characters. What do you think, JC?
I'll tell you if, when I heard that Vader and Ahsoka were back as a writer, as a filmmaker, I said that right there is the most interesting story they can tell.
Yes.
That to me is so interesting because does she know? How does she find out? What does he do? I mean, could you imagine in 4 years if all of Rebels builds up to Vader going and slaughtering Ahsoka and the crew of the Ghost? Then yes. You go and you watch episode 4 and the first thing he marches through the door, he picks that guy up by the neck. He cracks his neck as he throws him against the wall. I mean, that would, if Disney and Dave Filoni are able to do that and pull that off in a kid's show on Disney XD, I'm super impressed. I'll forgive the gun lightsaber combo if they can pull that off.
You know what? I got to tell you, I wasn't a big fan of that either. I mean, you know, it's just, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I don't know. It was just like the Inquisitor and his spinning lightsaber. I was like, that was a little too much for me. A little too much. Yeah. And the gun lightsaber with Ezra. Again, the same thing. Yeah.
Looks good on the toy shelf, though, right?
Yeah. It's true. But it just didn't really work for me. You know, lightsaber is a lightsaber. It's its own thing. And hopefully Ezra will figure it out and go, you know what? I'm a Jedi or I'm trying to be a Jedi. Let's just leave it at that. So
it's an elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
Yes, exactly. Right. And it kind of, yeah, I don't know about that.
It's not a hybrid gun wrist slingshot.
Yeah, I know.
That's but it fits Ezra. It fits his character.
I can see that, but I just hope he turns around like when he's really serious about, yeah, I want to be a Jedi. He turns it around and goes, okay, it's, yeah.
I want to see gun lightsabers in episode 7. I want Luke to graduate to a gun lightsaber in episode 7. Run around being like, Obi-Wan didn't know anything. He told me to kill my dad. I'm using a gun lightsaber now.
Oh, no. No, I hear you on that. Some of the things go a little too much for me. But overall, like you said, that potential, this series going to that point would be, oh, man, would be so great. So good. Yeah. Chris, any more thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, I'm excited because they announced that Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be doing a voice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and
true.
You know, what I thought was interesting is the way they said it and the way they kind of like did a wink hint kind of thing. They made it sound like, okay, or they're wanting us to think that she's going to be doing Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at it. Luke and Leia will be around, what, 13, 14 years old at this time period. So why wouldn't Leia show up?
She could. I mean, seeing that the people that we've shown up with, you know, obviously Vader.
Bail Organa showed up, so why not Leia?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely this. I can't wait for season 2, which is going to debut at Celebration, as a matter of fact. So we'll see that there. We'll be able to talk about that. And just the way the crew and the cast talked about what's coming up in season 2, they're really excited. You know, Freddie Prinze said, hey, if you think that they're going to mess up Vader, you're totally wrong. They got him down perfect, and they're excited about some of the talent that's coming in to do some of the voices and some of the characters that are going to be coming around. So overall, I mean, they're thoroughly excited for season 2, and with some little minor things, I'm totally up for it. I'm totally excited for it myself, so I can't wait for that. Also, Chris, anything else we want to talk about in news before I get into the next segment? I know the comics have been blowing up, of course. You know, you got the Vader comic. You got the Star Wars, of course, comic.
Yeah, Princess Leia.
The Princess Leia. So yeah. You've been on these, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on up to date. I've read all of them. With Leia only having one issue, and there's only five, so it's just telling a five-issue story, and I thought it was interesting at first. I'm not going to give any details, but for anybody else that's read it, or the way it kind of started out with her character, I was like, okay, I don't think I like where they're going with it, but then halfway through the issue, they turned, kind of like switched it, and the direction that she was actually going, I'm like, okay, this will work. But anybody that's read it will understand what, hopefully understand what I mean, is I didn't really like the way they seemed like it was, the direction it was, seemed like it was going to go. Then they switched it, and I was like, okay, that's better.
Okay.
But
I haven't actually read it, but go ahead.
That's why. I didn't figure you'd read it because you hadn't said anything to me about it.
Yes.
But Darth Vader, I like what they're doing. I thought the second issue, I was like, okay, this is kind of slow, but it made sense. Once you get through all of it, it makes sense. And it's like, okay, good, cool. I like where this is heading. And then, of course, in Star Wars, I think that they're doing a great job with it, bringing a lot of the, like, bringing the AT-AT into it and speeder bikes and all this kind of stuff into it and having this, like, big battle. I'm liking where it's going. I'm liking it.
Yeah, me too. I've enjoyed. I've gotten, of course, Star Wars and Vader. Vader, my favorite character, so I'm loving that. LaRocca, love his art. Jason Aaron, you know, like I said before, I mean, JC, they're bringing out these big guns in the Marvel comic universe to work on these, and you know, Mark Waid, I believe, is writing Leia. So, I mean, these are some of the big stuff. I don't know if you've read any of these, but what's your thoughts on some of the comics stuff?
You know, I haven't read the comics. I've never really been a comic guy. I've kind of read some of I read like Dark Empire and some of those really big Dark Horse ones.
Okay.
But you know, reporting on it on the Comlink and looking at the covers and kind of some of the cool things they're doing there, it looks awesome. Something I thought that was really cool that I had never seen before was they did a blank cover, like just all white cover, and you could design it yourself, or I saw some people like hired Star Wars artists to do their covers, which I thought was really, really cool idea.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, what in the world? Why? What use do we have of a blank cover? But when I started seeing people getting the artists doing it, plus people could take it to conventions and get those signed, getting signed by numerous people, which I thought was,
that was a great idea. And also the covers, talking about covers there, I saw some covers of, they were using like the action figure front thing, you know, the cutouts, and it looks like an action figure on the cover. That's kind of neat too. So they're doing a lot of cool things. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, a lot of cool things with the comics.
I almost want to buy those just because they've got the vintage action figures on the cover. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's just Star Wars. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So some great stuff. There's the news. You know, a lot of the latest stuff going on in Star Wars, and obviously, of course, always an exciting time with celebration around the corner. Hopefully, we'll get a trailer. You know, they talked about at Celebration. Of course, JJ and Kathleen Kennedy are kicking off on Thursday with a panel, which are supposedly to have quote unquote a special guest. I think they said, if not a special guest. So, what better way to introduce a brand new Star Wars trailer than to have JJ and Kathleen Kennedy there to host it and to present it to us and whatever special guests they have. At first I thought, hey, could they get Han Solo? Could they get Harrison Ford there for this? Which, if anybody's going to get him there, it's those two, right? But he's just been in a plane crash. I don't think he's going anywhere for a while. But you never know. It could be some of the new cast members. I don't know. Any thoughts, Chris, on who they might have as a special guest for this panel?
I don't know, because they've already said we got Billy Dee Williams and Carrie Fisher's there and Mark Hamill. But, yeah, to me, Harrison Ford would be the name.
He would be the name, right, if not for this, maybe this new cast, maybe some of the new people.
Yeah, they could, you know, Felicity Jones could show up, Isaac, all of these new characters. They haven't started announcing any of them being there, so.
No, not at all, yeah.
You know, maybe they're waiting announced as to get closer, which I mean we're a month away. So
yeah,
I think now
I would
the
think
time.
That's the ones you would want to have there. I mean, this is the group that's introducing a new trilogy to
exactly.
us. John Boyega, Daisy Ridley. You know, so
maybe it's just they're too busy.
I don't know, man. Hopefully they'll get a chance. JC, any thoughts on? I mean, you're going to be at Celebration. Any thoughts on that?
I think that you are going to see a surprise announcement of the new cast members.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would be awesome, because hopefully in this new Star Wars trailer that I'm sure they're going to show that day, you get to see Han, Luke, and Leia. And how awesome would it be if they marched Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill out, which you know they're going to be there, but then Han right. Solo came out, or Harrison Ford came out also.
Right.
Maybe that's what they had planned, and the plane crash put a monkey wrench in it.
That's what I'm thinking.
The only other person that I feel like has the weight of Harrison Ford that has never been to a Star Wars event is John Williams.
Oh, okay. He's never been to a Celebration?
No.
So that's the only person who I could think of who, if they announced Harrison Ford, the room would go insane. If they announced John Williams, the room would go insane. I mean, those are the two guys that you want to, like, bring the roof down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. That was my thing. It was like, this could be the one where they finally get, you know, Harrison to come out and spend an hour or two with JJ and Kathleen, you know, so, but we'll see. Maybe it is him. Maybe it is that new cast. Hopefully that plane crash didn't mess him up too much to where he won't be able to travel next month, but we'll see. That's an exciting thing. And that's going to kick off Celebration. So, wow, man, what a way to kick it off. So that's what's going on. Before we get into, before we finish up with our favorite Luke lines, I just have one thing in today's things that make you go. Okay, let me break this down to you guys. So a lot has been made of the stormtroopers, especially late in the Star Wars Rebels series. They are really shown as just terrible as far as, you know, their aim, and they're just kind of clumsy. I mean, this is the era where they're actually recruiting people to be stormtroopers and they're not clones anymore. And they're just so bad. And there's always been a lot of talk about how bad the stormtroopers are and how bad their aim is. You know, there's always been jokes ever since the original trilogy. But I've been thinking about it a lot, and I've read a couple stories about maybe some theories as to why, at least in the original trilogy, the stormtroopers are bad shots. And of course we got something that at the time was kind of an odd saying from Obi-Wan. And
like
here's what he talks about.
Right. Look,
stormtroopers.
Spantatrax. It's just I've never heard of them hitting anything this big before.
They didn't, but we are meant to think they did. These tracks are side by side. Sand people always ride single file to hide their numbers.
These are the same Jawas that sold us R2 and 3PO.
And these blast points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
But why would Imperial
Here we got, here it is, guys. You got Obi-Wan talking about the stormtroopers, and they're so precise. You know, they couldn't miss anything. They march, you know, they got the whole thing going on, right? But then when you see, Star Wars and the multiple times they're in battle with Luke and Han and Leia, and they never seem to hit anything. And the theory is, and it's not necessarily a new theory, I'm sure people have talked about this, as to why, you know, why are they not hitting anything? And here's the thing. Of course, in Star Wars, the Imperials had attached a tracking device to the Millennium Falcon because they wanted to find out where the Rebel base was. Well, if the Stormtroopers shoot and kill Han and Leia and Luke and all of them, their whole plan goes out the window. So the theory is that the Stormtroopers were under orders from the Emperor or Darth Vader or whatever to not shoot and kill Han, Luke, and Han and Chewie. The theory also goes beyond it to where, you know, in the Death Star sequence where Han charges around the corner and he runs into a giant, you know, platoon of stormtroopers and nothing happens. They don't shoot at him, you know, and he's able to turn around and run back. That kind of makes you think a little bit. You know, why did they do that? Or when the stormtroopers are blocking the path to the Millennium Falcon and all of a sudden they all kind of just go, hey, let's go watch Obi-Wan and Vader fight. And when you're watching the movie, and especially as a kid, you don't even think of anything like that. But I don't know. I think maybe Lucas, I don't know if that was part of his little plan, his little genius plan. Sometimes some of the things he does, you're like, wow, that was pretty cool. But the theory is, were the stormtroopers under orders, Chris, to not shoot and kill Han and Leia? What do you think? Did I convince you at all?
No, I don't buy that that kind of story. Early on, when they first get on the Death Star, no, that to me, if they wanted to capture them, they'd be shooting on, you'd think they'd be using stun.
right.
There at the very end, I could see them letting them go once they get out of the trash compactor. I could see them, you know what, screw this, just let them go, we'll follow them. Mm-hmm. That, I could see it. And I kind of makes me wonder, you talk about Obi-Wan in that line, maybe he's just talking about the sand troopers, you know, on Tatooine, the ones that he sees. But I don't know. They're, like you said, there, some of them are terrible. With Rebels, anybody that's seen up to date with Rebels, that scene where, what's her name? Serene?
Oh, Sabine.
Sabine. Yeah. Sabine is, jumping around on the TIE fighters there in the second to last episode or last episode. And they're just shooting crazy at her and cannot hit her. I'm like, really? I mean, to me, they made that look kind of bad. But, yeah, I just always put it up. They can't see out of their stinking helmets.
So you think it was, there is really no, there were not any under orders. They were just bad shots still.
Yeah, I just, hey, they're stormtroopers, and that's just, yeah, they're bad shots.
JC, did I convince you at all that they could have been under orders not to kill?
I mean, I think it's an awesome retconned idea, but no. There's no way that George planned that.
No, yeah.
Going in. But I think it's fun. I mean, that's kind of what makes it is so awesome, is that we've all seen Star Wars so many times and still love it so much that we're coming up with ridiculous theories as to explain a throwaway line of dialogue. You know? How awesome is that?
Exactly. And also that, you know, just as far as the stormtroopers are concerned, like they've shown with Rebels, through what you can see with the original trilogy, is they have, especially in the original trilogy, obviously they've gotten a lot better, but I don't know, man, I just think there's something to it. I mean, you can't have these guys, you know, shooting to kill if they're trying to track and ultimately get rid of the Rebel Alliance, because you're going to track them because you know they're going to go to, they got Princess Leia, they're obviously going to the Rebel base. So that's what convinced me, was that, and just some of the things that happened as far as them never, you know, and they didn't even use, they were actually using, you know, the stun blasts or what, they're blue, round blue shots, and obviously the blasters are the other color. But so that's kind of also what kind of convinced me, was there might be some onto this, you know. Not that Lucas wrote this in there. It's just a great way to retcon some things.
Okay, well,
it's fun.
Yeah.
If that explains the what happened in Star Wars, then what explains that they can't hit Chewie and Leia running down the halls in Cloud City and can't hit hardly any of them on Endor? They barely graze her, Leia on the arm. I'm like, hello? You know, how does that explain Empire and Jedi as far as their bad shots? I mean, I'm pretty sure they weren't ordered to not kill them then.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, through Empire and Return of the Jedi, they never really, their marksmanship never really improves that much. But at least in Star Wars, I think there could be something to them letting, obviously let them escape. Even Leia knows they let them escape. So there might be something to that, but you never know. Hey, it's just one of those theories that every time I watch these movies, like you say, JC, it's been how many years now? You know, decades, and I'm still coming up with, like, wow, could this be part of it? You know, just a really cool retcon, I think.
That's part of the fun of it now, is to think of different things when you're watching it.
Yeah, and with this new trilogy now, it's going to be plenty more coming our way. So with that, let us finish out with some of our favorite Luke lines.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
So, Chris, I got, let's see, I think about 7 or 8 lines. So, how many do you have?
I have 11.
Okay. JC's got to run here in a second, but he's going to run through some of his favorite Luke lines, so we're going to let him do that real quick.
Go ahead. That's fine. Go ahead.
All right, so I'll roll through these pretty quickly. You know, Luke, I love Luke Skywalker. Luke is one of my, he's my favorite character in the movies. And I know everybody likes Han Solo because he's cool. But, Sam Witwer, I believe, said it the other day. I think he said it when he was on the comlink. He goes, everybody wants to be Han Solo. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks they're Han Solo. But really, everybody's Luke. Luke's the hero. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody is as cool as Han Solo. And if you were, nobody would like you because you'd be found arrogant.
Exactly.
I love Luke. Luke is the hero, man. And so this was a cool topic for me. I picked some of my favorites. I like it when Luke whines. I know everybody makes fun of him, but I like it.
Yeah.
So I'll just start kind of from the bottom up. Is, you know, on Bespin, he says to Vader, "You'll find I'm full of surprises," you know, and he has that little, that little line. It's so funny. Like, it's Luke trying so hard to show that he's not totally afraid at that moment. And he is totally afraid at that moment. You know, again, in Empire, he goes, "No, that's not true. That's impossible." I mean, here's the thing. If I was directing him, I would have been like, let's bring it down about 50%, right?
He was faster, more intense.
But George says faster, more intense, and you get that. And it's little things like that, I think, that makes Star Wars fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It keeps it, even in that serious moment, it's just people letting it all go. I think that's fun. Something you guys played earlier with, talking about Obi-Wan, but Luke's line in there is, "Gaffy sticks, Bantha tracks, never heard of them hitting anything this big before." Like, even in that moment, he's still whining. You know, it's just like, "Why would Imperial troops want to slaughter Jawas, Obi-Wan?" It's so fun because that whole first movie, he's just like this little, me too guy. Like, "Hey guys, I'm important. Look at me. I know how to harvest crops." You know?
I got a few of those in my list too as well. Yeah. I know.
Then I had to go with a certain point of view. Because it's like, it's so, you know how, When you say something and you like bring up the end of it to make it a question, like, you like dogs? You know, a certain point of view? Like, has anybody ever been more incredulous
than
Luke at that moment?
He's actually like saying to Obi-Wan, like, I can't believe you lied to me. Like, he's just totally blown away by that. Yeah. Go ahead.
So. And then my last one, which is, which, I mean, you have to, right? Is, you know, "You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me." Like, that moment.
Yes.
Oh, Han Solo doesn't get to have that moment in the movie.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, oh, gosh.
That
I
is
get,
fine.
I mean,
yeah.
I've been watching that movie for 5 years at this point, 32 years at this point, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I get goosebumps thinking about it. That's how good that is, you know?
Definitely. That's one of my all-time favorites, of course, yeah.
It's like Luke looking down the barrel of the gun of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the dark side is just like, we've won. We have you. And he's like, I'd rather, you can't make me turn. Like, he gets it. Like, all, like, the Force makes sense to him at that moment.
And
like,
right there, yeah.
And it's so well, like, whatever you want to say about a certain point of view or him whining through the whole trilogy, that line is delivered perfectly. It is nobody else could do what he did in that moment. Oh, it's so great. Right.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that line, I'm sure, later on. But good stuff, a good mixture of some of the whiny stuff, because I have that too. Like, some of the whiny stuff is kind of funny. He has some funny lines, and he has some of the most powerful lines in the saga as well. So, great, man. It's great to have you again, Jason. I know you got to run. Really cool to hear about what's going on with Comlink. Of course, we'll watch the new show, A Certain Point of View, which debuted, like you said, tomorrow on the Comlink channel and iTunes, so don't forget to check that out. Jason, anything else before you get out of here? Of course, we'll see you at Celebration, right?
Yeah, man. I'll be all over Celebration. I think we're going to do – there's like – are you guys part of that little podcast meetup? You guys hear about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll probably check that out as well.
So yeah, so I'll be around there. See you right off the bat, and then what else, man? Hey, I'll tell you what. Anybody who's listening to this podcast who hasn't seen the Comlink, go watch the Comlink. This is a thing that I do that David Collins, Rourke Dreher, now James Arnold Taylor, Kat Tabor pokes her head in all the time. It's something that we work really, really hard on. Just as passionate fans and spend a lot of time on, and it means the world to me when I get comments on there and when I get, you know, when people like the videos and share the videos. I look at all that stuff. I'm constantly on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. That means a lot to all of us who are making the show. It's free for you to watch. It's free for you to share. And it's free for you to subscribe. And all of those things, which are really easy for you guys to do, make a huge difference for the people who are putting that show together. So if I can really just encourage everybody to take 10 seconds while they're listening to this podcast, go to youtube.com/thecomlink. Facebook.com/thecomlink or @_comlink on Twitter. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you like about the show and hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, hit the like button because, again, that just makes a huge difference and it helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. And I got to tell you the production value alone, I mean, it's obviously a professional thing. I mean, the way you guys put this thing together and some of the guests you get are fantastic. And you also have these extended interviews online as well. So, you know, you can watch, just any of the guests, almost like an outtake, like you get to hear the whole interview. So it's really cool, to see that as well. So, like I said, great production value, fun show, and David Collins, he's a great host, and man, continued success with that, man. We'll look forward to seeing you at Celebration. Go watch the Comlink, people. It's really good. So with that, JC, we'll let you go. I know you got to run, but thanks again for jumping on with us, and always great to talk to you, man.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Chris, you got 11. I have about 8. So why don't you go ahead and we'll continue with our favorite lines of dialogue for Luke. What do you got for your – well, I'll let you do a couple, actually, since I got to catch up to you. Go ahead.
Okay. First, I'm just doing mine as usual. I'm going to do them in order from Star Wars through to Jedi.
Okay.
This is one – well, let me play it first. This is 12 seconds.
There's nothing you could have done, Luke, had you been there. You'd have been killed, too. And the droids would now be in the hands of the Empire.
I want to come with you to Alderaan. There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
All right, that one is just kind of like, for me, it's Luke's realization that, okay, my life has just changed, and I'm forced, in a way, down this path. You know, it's kind of interesting because if you look at him when he's standing there with the burning bodies, you know, like anybody, his life would be totally changed. But to automatically have a different path right there, hey, I just showed you this path before this happened, and then bam, you've already got a direction that you can go in. You know, he doesn't have that point where, what do I do now? It's just, bam, here's this, like, hello? It's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what's so nice about, or cool about that line is, it's that, like you said, it's that realization that, you know, finally he was kind of fighting it for a while. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if this is what I really should be doing. But that was like a moment, like, it kind of feeling, it finally clicked for him, like, yeah, that is my destiny. I do need to do this. And that line to Obi-Wan was the point right there. That was good. Good one, Chris. What do you got? What else you got?
All right. This next one is 24 seconds. It's two different lines. And I'll explain why I want to after it's done.
This place can be a little rough.
I'm ready for anything.
He doesn't like you.
Sorry.
I don't like you either. You just watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead.
This little one's not worth the effort.
Okay, that, to me, this one always cracked me up. I'm ready for anything. And as soon as he gets in there, he gets his butt in trouble and he has no clue how to handle himself. And I mean, his response is, I'll be careful. I'm like, really? I'm like, you just ignore the problem. That's it. You know, it's just presented itself. So to me, that always cracked me up. I always find that humorous that I'm ready for anything. And yet he's ready for absolutely nothing.
Well, you know, it's funny. I want to jump in here and actually play one of mine because it comes from the same scene, and it's only one word, and it's kind of funny. Hear it.
He doesn't like you.
Sorry.
And that's all it is. He just says sorry, and the way he says it, it's kind of like he's blowing off. Obviously, he's blowing off these two thugs that are coming at him, Pony Baba. And the way he says it, and the way he just turns around, it's kind of like an FU. It's like, yeah, whatever. And he kind of turns around. It just, all it does, even though he's saying sorry, the way he says it, obviously it's pissing him off even more. And it goes obviously to the big conclusion. So one word, crazy funny line of dialogue, and the way it's said and the way he moves, sorry, is so funny to me. So I had to jump in there, Chris, because it came from the same scene. So go ahead with one of your next ones.
Okay, this next one, this is just, I love, well, this one's 16 seconds. So it's
10,000, all in advance.
10,000? We can almost buy our own ship for that.
But who's going to fly it, kid? You?
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself. I'm going to sit here and listen.
I love that. You know, that part where he's, you bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot. He's just like going a whole, you know, he's just getting his feelings hurt and all bent. I could fly this thing, you know. I'm like, no, you need a ship, kid.
Yeah. No, that was definitely on my list too. Part of the ones that I wrote down, I didn't want to go. I had so many, a ton of Luke stuff, but that was one of them where it's the way he says it, and just like he's coming out to Han, like, you know, I'm not just a farm boy. I'm not just a kid, and you know, from which he is, but obviously he's got a lot of power or a lot of skill in piloting. He pilots T-16s, obviously, like he said. So. Just the way it comes off, like he's tired of this and showing a little bit of gumption, like he can do it. And Obi-Wan's just like, yeah, don't worry about it. Well, it's fine. It's fine. But just the way he says it, like he says, yeah, it's really funny.
To me, part of that is kind of him expressing himself as what he didn't do earlier with the, you know, Dr. Evazan.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, okay, now I can bark.
Yeah, I can stand up for myself because I got Obi-Wan on my side here, you know. He's got a lightsaber. He'll cut somebody's arm off if they give me any trouble. You know, I got backup. So funny, funny line. Go ahead, Chris. Do one more, and then I'll jump in as well.
All right. This next one. All right, this is the last one for Star Wars. And, well, it's 30 seconds, but it's terribly funny. Always has been to me.
Are you there, sir? 3PO! We've had some problems.
Will you gentlemen listen to me? Shut down all the garbage bags above the detention level, will you? Do you copy? Shut down all the garbage bags above the detention level! Shut down all the garbage bags on the detention level!
No! Shut them all down! Hurry!
I love the first part of that, too.
Yeah, that first part. I mean, that, just terribly funny. Both of them are just always been terribly funny to me.
Yeah.
Blast him. Where? Han asked where. He's like, anywhere, man.
Yeah.
Just blast it. And then 3PO starts to explain, and he just, you know, shut up and listen to me. Just shut up. And him repeating it over and over again until they get it. Like, okay, give him a second to do what he's got to do, but, you know, just keep on and on and on. So,
I love the garbage mashing one about anywhere because here's Luke. I mean, he's on the verge of getting choked out. And Han's trying to, you know, he's trying to be, you know, Han's, what is he trying to do? He's trying to shoot him, but he doesn't know what's going on. Like, what the hell is this thing? What's wrapped around a world? Where do I shoot it? Shoot him? And, Luke is just so, he's on the verge of dying. Just shoot the dang thing anywhere. Just get it off me. It's just the line is funny. And the way he says it, the faster, more intense. Love it. You know, that's one of those, the fun lines and funny lines where, faster, more intense works right there. I'm going to take you to, back a little farther in the saga here. And I'm kind of just jumping around, Chris. I didn't put them in any particular order. I'm just kind of jumping around. But this is more on the serious stuff here.
They're on. Soon I'll be dead. And you with me.
So here is Luke. And what I love about this is it's like he's accepted maybe the fate of what he's supposed to do, maybe his destiny. And he even tells him, like, hey, I'm going to be dead. And like he says, you along with me. And just the way he says it, the matter of factness of the way he says it, he's really confident and he's able to take up this burden and this destiny of maybe he is supposed to die and take the Emperor with him. So, just more of a serious line, not a funny line, but a serious line, like, whoa.
Yeah, that one to me too could kind of be read as it's one of those lines that you kind of think of different meanings of it because it's the way it's set up. And it's kind of like, okay, it's like, I'm sacrificing myself. I know I need to be here. I'm not going to turn. And if all else fails, I'll be on this when they destroy the Death Star. You know, even if the Emperor Vader doesn't kill him first, you know, he's willing to, if that's what he's got to do, that's what he's got to do. It's kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
And in a way, it could also be read as, is he just saying this to kind of see what the Emperor does with it type of line? But, yeah, it's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah, just the fact that he's, at least to me, he's accepted the fate. So, really cool line. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead with your next one.
Quite a bit more mature now.
Okay, yeah.
This one is from Empire Strikes Back, and everybody that's listen to the show knows this is one of my favorites. This is 28 seconds.
Oh, no. Are you on? Come on. You're lucky you don't taste very good. Anything broken?
Just one of my favorites. That's a perfect line. You're lucky you don't taste very good. So much better than you're lucky to get out of there. Really?
But, yeah. One of those changes, huh, Chris? Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That was actually on one of my lists, too. That was towards the bottom, too. I'm going to go back to...
You will bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I'm taking Captain Solo and his friend. You can either profit by this or be destroyed. It's your choice, but I warn you not to underestimate my power.
So the part there where he says not to underestimate my powers, this is like, as far as Return of the Jedi, this is kind of like the first, our first introduction to the new Luke, which, you know, he's in a whole new outfit. The whole setup of him coming in was so different. Like, what was going on? We didn't hear any words from him. He's just using the Force against the Gamorrean guards and stuff like that. So this interaction with Jabba was kind of neat because it was a, you had a sense that Luke had, you know, finally made it to a Jedi. At first, when you're seeing him all in dark, you're like, wow, man, what's up with Luke? But to hear him say that, the confidence in that line to Jabba, to a crime lord that I'm sure he knows plenty about, and to go in there without any weapons and to say that, and just the confidence in that line is one of my favorite lines to Jabba, that don't underestimate what I can do. And Jabba soon learns that he shouldn't have underestimated Luke. So one of my favorite lines from Return of the Jedi was that line there.
Yeah, that one. I had that one on my list too, is bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me. It's just this whole interaction, like you said, it's, he comes in there with that confidence. He comes in there and he just basically, okay, I'm a Jedi. I'm just going to lay it out to you.
Yeah.
And
right.
See if, exactly. And if he doesn't go for it, then we'll move on to the next thing. But he's just like, to start with, this is what we're going to do and this is what you're going to do and see if it works. And of course it doesn't, but
yeah. Definitely. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, this one is, next one is, again, from Empire Strikes Back, and it's 19 seconds.
Why would you be dumb, Jedi?
Mostly because of my father, I guess.
Father? How for Jedi was he? How for Jedi?
Oh, come on. How could you know my father? You don't even know who I am. No, I don't even know what I'm doing here. We're wasting our time.
To me, that was always, he was calm. You know, when he first meets Yoda and realizes that, that Yoda can help him, he changes his whole demeanor and the way he talks. And then when he gets in there, he's calm, he's patient. And it's just funny, just this piece, this 30 seconds, he goes from being calm and patient to fed up, don't know what, you know, he's throwing a fit basically. To me, that just,
right.
I always liked that line. I don't even know what we're doing here. And throws his ball of food.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's the point, like you said, where he switches. Like, he gets totally frustrated because he wants to find Yoda. He wants to get the process started, and get on with his training. And he's on this crappy planet. You know, he's talking to this creature. And just the final frustration. And it was also good because you see Yoda, how he reacts to that. He's like, whoa, you know, like, is this kid really ready for this? And he can't even handle being it with me for a little bit. And he gets frustrated. So really cool line from The Empire Strikes Back. I like it. You know, Chris, JC talked about some of the whiny stuff that Luke did, which is kind of funny. And I'm gonna bring up a line here that I thought was kind of neat. And obviously this line is parodied a lot. Let's check this out.
Take these two over to the garage, will you? I want them cleaned up for dinner.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
So that line, obviously, like, it's been parodied and been made fun of a lot. But I took it like, here's the thing with that line. It's just showing how a whiny farm kid who, you know, he doesn't respect his chores and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like the typical teenager thing. You know, my kids do that all the time to me. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to go play video games or whatever when you tell them to clean the room or take the garbage out.
Yeah.
But in this kind of a sense, it's showing like how far removed Luke is from what's going on in the universe right now, this with the Empire and, you know, Leia, of course, and all that, all the rebel stuff that's going on. It's showing how far he is away from that. And here's just this farm boy that wants to go hang out with his friends, but there's this galactic thing going on with the rebels and the Empire. And just how far he comes from that point to where we end up in Return of the Jedi. Just kind of one of those lines that is always funny to hear him say that. Like, pick up some power converters, and you've seen plenty of parodies about that. But yeah. It's showing like how far he is away from what's going on.
Exactly. So it's his introduction, and we see his level of maturity right there in one line.
Right. And how that maturity, you know, how he matures so fast in the matter of the years through the original trilogy. So. Yeah. One of my favorite lines. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. All right. Well, this one's 30 seconds, and I'm pretty sure this is probably on your list. JC mentioned it earlier, so here we go.
He told me you killed him. No. I am your father. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! No! Oh, yeah. Of course.
Many people might say it's over the top and everything. And JC said the same thing. And you know, I find that so interesting now that we know the backstory of that scene. Mm. When you watch Building an Empire and Irvin Kershner talking about it. We did take after take, and he finally got into it. And, you know, nobody else on the set except Irvin and Luke, Mark knows what Vader's supposed to be saying except them two. And Luke to finally get into it, I think he's just, I mean, it shows perfect emotion of him totally, completely beat down, exhausted. And it's just like, and now this, now you tell me this after all this. So
yeah,
I just always thought that was, over the years, he's shown his acting ability in, to me. So,
oh yeah, that's you know one of the ones that I wanted to put on, but I figured it would come up, and everybody I'm sure loves that line and the way it's and I maybe I'll disagree with JC a little bit. I mean he did ultimately say he liked it, but he said the way he says that is just like you can feel like the emotions of that line and his pain, and not only pain, but like, he just can't, it's so hard for him to accept, but he knows it, like deep down, he knows it's true. Just like Luke says, you know, it's true. Yeah. And just the fact that he has to admit that it's true. It's just, it's so painful to him that somebody so evil could be his father, but he definitely knows it. So, wow. Fantastic line. I'm going to take you to, I'm going to keep going here. I won't even say what it is. Everybody knows when they hear the lines, but check this line out.
The thoughts betray you, Father. I feel the good in you, the conflict.
There is no conflict.
Now, I feel the good in you, the conflict. I love this because here's kind of what I took about this. I mean, Luke is telling Vader, like, I know you're not, I've known for a while that there's been good in you. You weren't fully turned. And the way he says it, I think Vader, like, he kind of knows it, but he's in the presence of the Emperor. And, Vader's almost like on the defensive, like, you know, no. There's no conflict. Like the way he says it doesn't sound like that, but it almost sounds like, don't bring that up. You know, don't bring that up in front of the Emperor. You know, I don't want anything to come out of this, you know? So, The way Vader reacts to the line is what makes this a great line for me. But also just the fact that Luke deep down knows that there is still good in Vader and he's trying to get it out of him. He's trying to pull it out of him. And just that line, I love that line. So
yeah. And to me, I like that line too. It's like it was brought up earlier when it was just him and Vader and then brought up again now. And like you said, you get different reactions because the presence of the Emperor.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And I got another line in that general area, but I've got one more earlier. This is earlier in Return of the Jedi, 6 seconds.
Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
Yes.
Now we have the ultimatum.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is your last chance. We've gone through all these steps. You can either let us go or you're going to die. It's just like, yes, sir. And then right after that, it all starts, and we get to see Luke as his Jedi.
Yeah.
He is now a Jedi.
Wait, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say he is now a Jedi. We get to see it.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's, you know, the all the lines that, some of the dialogue from the transition from Jabba, his palace to the Sarlacc pit, some of the stuff him is interchanging with Han, talking about, you know, hey, there's nothing to see here. And he's like, yeah, you're going to die here. That kind of stuff. And then to end up with him giving the ultimatum to Jabba, which he's already given Jabba plenty of chances, you know, and Jabba thinks he's got him right where he wants him. You know, he's going to take a Jedi and kill a Jedi. And to have what happens, really cool. Just that one last ultimatum. Come on, Jabba. And then Carrie Fisher in a gold bikini takes him out.
But, yeah. But.
Hey, I'm going to take you back to Star Wars and kind of a line where it's, I don't think it's supposed to come off as like, kind of, well, here, take a look.
I'm only a droid and not very knowledgeable about such things. Not on this planet, anyway. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure which planet I'm on.
Well, if there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that is farthest from.
So, the way Luke, you know, delivers this line, it's kind of, you know, to the point. Like, is he trying to, is he sarcastic a little bit in there? Because the way he says it, it's like, okay, you're from the farthest, from the bright center of the universe, but that kind of sounds like a dig on Tatooine. It's like, you know, the coolest place in the universe. Well, we're the farthest from it.
Yeah,
kind of like a dig on Tatooine. Like this planet is a dump. You know, it's like it's full of, you know, it's dirty. It's got, you know, the worst criminals around. You know, it's hot. We got two suns. It's this and that. So it's kind of one of those lines when you think about it, it's like, I think he's putting a little jab at Tatooine because it's, hey, think of the coolest place. We're the farthest thing from it, man. That's where you are. You're kind of like in hell, I guess, is what you're trying to say. So one of those lines where I think there's a little sarcasm tinged in that line, Chris. So I got two more, Chris. What do you have left?
Yeah, I got two more, but yeah. Okay. And Luke on that, you know, he's a dreamer. He's a daydreamer. He's dreaming of adventures and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, he's stuck on this planet. So yeah. And you know, he doesn't even know the planet. He's just right there in his general area. You know, it's just like, it sucks here. You know, there's no adventure here. So yeah, it's,
nothing going on. Yeah.
It's the farthest from, anything adventurous. So.
Right.
Okay. I got two left and this one is 14 seconds. It's in Return of the Jedi.
Your thoughts betray you, Father. I feel the good in you. The conflict.
There is no conflict.
You couldn't bring yourself to kill me before, and I don't believe you'll destroy me now.
To me, basically the same thing you play. Exactly the same thing. It's that part where he is standing up to Vader and saying, you couldn't destroy me before, and I don't think you will now. You know, he is... Mm-hmm. You know, is he pushing Vader's buttons there, or is he just...
I think a little bit, yeah.
He's grown quite a bit in the Force, and as a Jedi, and we see it, and he's staying calm and collected as much as he can. He is avoiding fighting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no conflict, that line. I love that line, and like you said, this stuff is all being said in front of the Emperor. And, as Vader, he's got to think like, man, he's still talking about me possibly being conflicted about being a Sith and being on the dark side. So that whole interchange, like you said, the confidence in Luke, like there's such a difference between that and the Empire fight where he was, you know, beaten down and bloodied and sweaty. And you can just see the anguish and everything that was going on. And this, he was always calm and cool and collected until of course, the very end. And always in control and almost doing the opposite. Like he's almost doing a little, some of the word games and some of the line games he plays with Vader about being conflicted about, you know, you're not going to kill me. You couldn't do it before. Like even that in front of the Emperor, like, whoa, don't talk about that. Like you couldn't kill me before. You're not going to do it now. So
yeah,
great stuff.
And you know, that first fight, he is so much different because early into the fight, he's like, oh, crap, I'm in over my head. How do I get out of this?
Yeah.
But in this one, no. He is in charge of himself. He's in control. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I got two more left. This one is coming from some interactions with Yoda.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be. You will be.
So, Chris, the way he says the afraid, like, this is the revelation where he finally finds out that Yoda is who he is. And the afraid thing, this is Luke going, hey, you know, this is my destiny. I'm ready for this. And he's almost trying to convince Yoda. Obviously, he's trying to convince Yoda because Yoda's talking about, I don't know if I can train this guy. He's too old and all this. But Luke is standing up for himself and trying to tell Yoda, like, hey, like I said, I can handle this, man. I'm not afraid of anything, you know. And the way he says it, I'm not afraid. Like, he's trying to convince Yoda. And Yoda's like, oh, boy, you have no idea what you're in for.
Yeah.
And some of the things you're going to have to go through because you're the last of the Jedi. And the way Yoda says what he says is just chilling to be set up by the line, I'm not afraid. Yeah. from what Yoda says, man, great setup. And from what Yoda says, so chilling to how he, and even Luke, when he hears what Yoda says, he kind of looks back like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Got in a little deeper than I thought maybe.
To me, that line, I love it. It's, yeah, he's trying to convince Yoda and he's trying to convince himself that he's not afraid.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's saying it means he is afraid. So
yeah.
He's just trying to, yeah. Great line, because he's trying to build himself up, and he's just like, mm-hmm. You know what? Forget it. Just listen to Yoda and learn, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I got. We're on our final ones, and I saved the last one for my favorite, Chris. I don't know if you did the same.
So did I. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're probably on. Mine is 18 seconds. I'm pretty sure we're the same.
We might be. Yeah. Go ahead.
18 seconds.
Okay.
Never. I'll never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Woo! I'm right with you, Chris.
I mean,
my favorite line of all time with Luke. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he goes through all of this and the emotions that Vader pulls out of him right there, and it just for him to stand up. Poke out his chest, basically, you know, straighten up. It's like, you failed. And the fact that he throws his lightsaber away is always just been like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and as a kid watching that for the first time, it's like, oh, man. And just see the Emperor, just the look on the Emperor's face, like, fine, so be it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, JC brought it up as one of his favorite lines. And, of course, me and you, this is our top line. And I'll tell you what, this could be like, not only is it my favorite Luke line, but this could be like my favorite line of the saga because of what it means, what it stands for. This is Luke. And mind you, this is after, like, for a moment there, he's going nuts on Vader. Like, when he mentions the sister, Vader, Luke, you know, he's chopping down. He's these overhead strikes that he's throwing on Vader, just overpowering him. And just the way he comes out of that, like, you can, like, his hair is all messed up. He's kind of sweating a little bit, and he's looking at the hand that's gone, and just the realization, like, for a minute there he was angry, he was chopping down. I mean, he's tapping into some dark stuff right there, and for him to turn around and to realize it and to accept, like I talked about earlier, maybe his fate, like, hey, I am a Jedi. And the way he delivers that line, and like you said, he throws the lightsaber away and stands up to the Emperor, like, you're not going to turn me. Even if I have to die, I am a Jedi. And just that line, like I said, this is the line, could be the line of the whole saga for what it stands for and for what it means for Luke. So definitely,
and you know, my favorite. To me, watching this scene, and this is something that I've never brought up, but when he gets to that point where he's chomping on Vader, and then he finally stops, and then he looks at his hand, and he's kind of starting to realize, but to me, when you hear the Emperor start to him laughing in the background, and then Luke kind of looks back, to me, it's like when he laughs at him, the Emperor is expecting him to, okay, that was the point, he's going to turn his mind. But when he starts laughing, it's kind of like Luke snaps out of it at that point, and it's like, oh, no, you fail.
yeah.
You know, he just
that,
like,
total realization. Yeah,
calms himself in a few breaths, and fantastic. Just, you know, fantastic. And the fact that he doesn't even And after that, he doesn't fight the Emperor.
No.
He just takes
exactly.
It.
So, yes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, could be the line of the saga for me. And for all you listening out there, I don't know if you have any favorite Luke lines, but is that your favorite? Let us know if there's any we missed that you thought were some great lines. Definitely let us know on our Facebook page or wherever. Give us an email or call us. But had a great time with this, Chris. That is before we wrap up, though, of course. Chris, you want to mention some ways that people can follow us and find us around the web?
Yeah, go to sarlaccpitpodcast.com. It's our website where you can go and download the show straight from there. You can listen to it right on the page. Plus, once you go there, on the right-hand side, you've got a little mic that you can leave as a voice message that we could play on future shows. And, of course, you can download us through iTunes. But Facebook, Classic Star Wars is my main page that I just have a ball with. And then, of course, Sarlacc Pit Podcast. I mean, yeah, Facebook.com/Sarlacc Pit Podcast is our other page there. And then, of course, Twitter, at Classic Star Wars, and then at Sarlacc Pit Cast. And email address. New email address, folks. ClassicStarWars1977@gmail.com.
There you go. Classic. Man, that page is obviously doing fantastic. And there's always great stuff coming on there. I love checking it out. And just every day there's always cool stuff. And stuff that I've never seen sometimes. You know, just different shots and publicity shots and behind-the-scenes stuff. So it's you gotta follow that if you're not already doing that. And don't be afraid to give us your thoughts, like even on the Facebook page or the website or whatever, man. Just let us know what's going on and interact with us, because we love to hear from you guys as well. So anything else, Chris, before we take off?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So definitely, like I said, follow those pages, and thank you guys again for listening to us and making us part of your Star Wars day. For JC and Chris, my name is Matt. We will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.